Keep your Bibles open tonight to Acts chapter 2, and we'll be there in just a moment. We'll talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ after he ascended up into heaven and is at the right hand of God. And as the gospel was preached on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and that those who believed in the Lord and asking what they should do, and Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. I appreciate so much Jay's work in getting our lapel mic and FM receiver so that Robert can hear the service tonight. That wasn't working this morning. It makes it very difficult for him to hear, and I appreciate that. And I know he can hear me because he's smiling back there. but we've got some gremlins going on around here. Jay's job is so hard. We were over here. Stopped by, I think it was one Friday night, and I forget what we were doing, and we stopped by here, and Jay was here 8 or 8:30 at night, hadn't even been home yet, and he was here working at the building. We've got some sort of gremlins around here messing with our electrical system, and it's just wreaking havoc on things. And the latest thing to wreak havoc on from Saturday morning to this morning is the PowerPoint projector is now out. We used it Saturday morning, and it worked fine, and now it doesn't. I really could have used that because I have a technical lesson for you tonight. And so you're going to have to concentrate just a little bit more to grasp the lesson. Sometimes on Sunday nights I want to present to you a technical lesson. And tonight is probably the first time I'll do that. And tonight I want to talk about these two questions. Are we baptized in the name of Jesus? The next question is, are we baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And there would seem to be a contradiction there, wouldn't it? On one hand, the Bible says we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, the Bible says we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This has led to what is known as the oneness doctrine. And the oneness doctrine, which has come about over the last several years, denies that God exists in three persons as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and asserts that God is only one person and He's just revealed Himself in three different ways as a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. And that God is one, and that one God's name is Jesus Christ. And therefore is the oneness doctrine. Jesus is God the Father, Jesus is the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the Son of God. This doctrine also denies the preexistence of the Word and teaches that the Son existed as the Father prior to Jesus coming to earth. Now, I'm not going to get into all of the oneness doctrine tonight, but in part, this, what may seem to be a contradiction, that we're baptized in the name of Jesus in one verse, in another we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in another has led some to believe that Jesus is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's not what the Bible says. I want to talk about this tonight. What does it mean that we're baptized in the name of Jesus? And what does it mean that we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Now, the answer to both of these questions is yes. That's the simple answer. And we don't need to understand it any further than that, because that's simply what the Bible says. But for our edification tonight, we want to explore these two passages and understand the difference between what the Bible says, that we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and what the Bible says, that we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, let's look at the two scriptures first of all tonight. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, just a few verses from where Evan was reading already this evening. Verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so here Peter is preaching the very first gospel sermon to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you may want to hold your place there, or at least remember where that's at, and turn with me to Matthew's record of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Now remember, Jesus gave this commission to the apostles just a few days before Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 charged the apostles to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now it may seem that Peter did not do as Jesus instructed because Peter told them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But quite the opposite is true. That Peter did exactly as Jesus commanded in Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. By baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ, he was baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What is the difference here between being baptized in the name of Jesus and being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? First of all, we need to realize that different prepositions are used in these two verses. First of all, let's take Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Your Bible, as you look at it tonight, I would suspect you're reading a translation that uses the preposition in. It says, in the name. The preposition there for in, as it is translated, is epi. The transliteral spelling is E-P-I. And it literally means on or upon. Now let me give you an example of this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we read about two types of knowledge. And some of the translations differentiate between these. Some of the translations say true knowledge when speaking of epigenosis, E-P-I, gnosis. That literally is top knowledge or the knowledge that is upon. Other places in that scripture, it talks about gnosis. And that is just the everyday standard knowledge and not talking about the top knowledge or the knowledge that is up upon. And so we see this preposition used a number of times in the Bible. Here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it's translated in. And here it means that we're baptized by the authority of Jesus Christ in the way that He has commanded. And remember what He commanded in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Young's literal translation, if you're not familiar with that, Young has a very famous, popular concordance that many brethren use, as well as they use Strong's. And Young also has a translation of the New Testament. And it's a good translation. You can access this from the internet if you would like to do that, and you can access that from my website. And Young's literal translation says this, "And Peter said unto them, reform and be baptized each of you on the name of Jesus Christ." On the name of Jesus Christ. And so we'll talk about in some detail and illustrate this a little bit further, but at this point in the lesson, realize that the preposition in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is epi, upon, or on the name, and that denotes His authority. We'll illustrate that in a moment. Now look over at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. We have a totally different preposition, and the American Standard Version, if any of you are using that tonight, the American Standard Version brings this out in its translation. The preposition in Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 is eis. To be baptized in the name, in, the preposition is eis. And from your other studies, those of you who have studied very deeply into the Word of God, you'll recognize that this preposition occurs in a number of very important scriptures regarding our salvation. And the preposition eis denotes movement and contact. And as Jesus is commanding to baptize in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, what He is saying is to immerse, to baptize in, meaning that when one is baptized, he moves from separation with God to being in contact with God. that when one is baptized, before he goes into the water, he is an alien to the household of God, and when he comes up out of the water, that he is a member of God's household, that he has a relationship with the Father and with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, the American Standard Version translates it this way. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll look at some scriptures in a few moments where the preposition into, as it's translated from ice, is used in some very familiar scriptures that you study quite often, and it denotes movement and contact. Now, let's illustrate these two verses and what's being said here. Again, let's go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ or on the name of Jesus Christ. I want to give you two illustrations. Turn your Bible, first of all, over to Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8. And you'll remember what is happening here in this book of the Bible. Esther is a Jew who has become queen. And she is queen of Artaxerxes. And it has come to her knowledge that some would desire to have the Jews annihilated, the entire Jewish race. And her uncle Mordecai hears of this and encourages her to go and talk to the king. She does that. And the king then allows them to write a law, and he seals it with his signet ring so that this gives the Jews a chance to protect themselves and so that their race is not annihilated. Now, this is what King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, this is what he says in Esther chapter 8 and verse 8. Now you write to the Jews as you see fit in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For decree which is written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's signet ring may not be revoked. Now what is he telling them to do? Go and write a law. Go and write a law by the authority of the king in the king's name. And once the law is written, it cannot be revoked. Now, there are a number of different decrees, as is indicated here in this verse. And he tells them to go and to write this. And he says, for a decree which is written in the name of the king. There are many decrees. You know, I could stand up and I could make a decree tonight. And this would not be the proper place to do it, but maybe after church tonight I'd be somewhere else. And I would make a decree that anyone who does so and so will be put in jail. Now, how valid is that decree going to be in the United States of America? Because Alan McNabb stood up and made it. It's not going to have any validity at all. Why? Because I have no authority to make that decree. I could stand up and make decrees all that I want, but they're not valid because there's no authority. Here the king is saying, make this decree, write it whatever you want to, and it's going to be in the name of the king. It's going to be by my authority. And it cannot then be revoked. This is what the Apostle Peter is saying in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. To repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ. Why is it? When one obeys Jesus Christ, repents, and is immersed in the water and comes out of water, that those sins are forgiven. Why is it? Is it because Alan said so? No, that's not going to help you out one little bit. It's because Jesus said so, and it is what He authorized. Now turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 3 and 4, and I want to use a New Testament example of this. And as we see it used in the New Testament, we can see exactly, again, what this means. Acts chapter 3 and 4. Now, Peter and John were going to the temple here. And there was a poor beggar as they go up to the gate, beautiful. And they look at the beggar, and the beggar looks up and expects something. And Peter says to him, he says that silver and gold we do not have, but he says, let me give you what we do have. And this is what he says, verse 6, Acts 3, 6. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. Now, if Alan goes to a lame person and Alan says, in the name of Alan McNabb, rise and walk, that person's going to stay right there. He's not going anywhere. But this was by the authority of Jesus Christ. This was in the name of Jesus Christ. Why could that man stand up and walk as Peter took him by the hand the next verse? It's because of Jesus Christ. It wasn't because of Peter. Now, I want you to go on with me just a little bit further. This is the sermon beginning in verse 11, the message that Peter delivered, beginning in verse 11 of Acts 3. Now while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this, or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in His name. Now get that right there. That the man's faith was in the name of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? In the name, it's in the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus has the authority to raise the lame. Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. And it was in the name of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ, that this man was healed and stood up and walked. Now, go over to chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, the Sanhedrin came together, and they didn't like what was going on. They didn't like the fact that the apostles were doing these miracles and the apostles were preaching about Jesus, much less the fact that the apostles were telling other people that the Jews had put Jesus to death by lawless hands. They were quite upset about this. Now, in chapter 4, verse 7, as they are before the Sanhedrin, verse 7 says, When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, By what power or in what name? You see, so the Jews understood how this worked. It says, By what power are you doing that? Or what name? It was not the power of Peter. Peter had already confessed that. He says, Why are you looking at me or John as if we had done something ourselves? We've not done anything at all. It's not our power, but I'll tell you whose it is. It's Jesus Christ. Now look down to chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Here is Peter's answer. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, If we are on trial for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. It's by the name of Jesus Christ. It's by His power. It's by His authority. Now again, remember Acts chapter 2, verse 38. To repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that same name that raised this lame man to walk again, raised him up. It's that name, it's that power whereby when we obey Jesus Christ, we repent of our sins, we are immersed in the water, and we come back up, our sins are washed away in the blood of the Lamb. It's that power that Jesus possesses. We are baptized in His name. If we do not believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that we're saved when we're baptized, we do not believe in His power, and we're lost. But if we believe in His name, in the name of Jesus Christ, and in His power, and obey Him, we are saved. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You remember that that John writes these five chapters. And he's writing to Christians as to how they know that they are saved. And in chapter 1, verse 4, he's writing them as to how that their joy can be made complete. And that is to know that they are saved and to not have any doubt about that. And he goes throughout these five chapters and he mentions a number of things. He gets near the end in verse 13 of chapter 5 and says this, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." And brethren, we need to know this. Those of us who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, what is that talking about? Is that talking about writing the name Jesus Christ on a board or on a piece of paper or something like that? And we believe in those letters with that ink, with that lead from the pencil, with that paper? That's not what it's talking about. Those of us who believe in the power of Jesus Christ, that our sins are forgiven, that God works in our lives to please Him in every respect, we know without any doubt, without any question, that we have eternal life. That's what it means to believe in the power, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're baptized in that name by that authority. And it is the power of Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead, that our sins are forgiven. Now let's illustrate Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. The preposition there, once again, is ice. The transliteral spelling is E-I-S. And is oftentimes translated into, I read for you tonight, the American Standard Version that uses that word in the translation. And we find the Greek preposition ice oftentimes translated into in a number of scriptures there that are very important to us as the Lord teaches us about salvation. Turn your Bibles with me tonight to Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Here you recognize this scripture as we refer to it from time to time, and I'm sure those of you who have been Christians for a while have read it and studied it a number of times. And Paul says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized," probably all of our translations that you're using tonight say "into." The Greek word here is eis, E-I-S, and it denotes movement and contact. That those of us who have been baptized are baptized into Christ and have been baptized into His death. Again, the preposition means movement and contact. When we obey the Lord Jesus Christ to be baptized, we come into contact with Him, verse 3, and with His death. That His death becomes our death. Therefore, we do not have to pay the penalty for our sin, which is death. We can live eternally with God in heaven. Turn your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Again, a scripture I know that you're very familiar with along these lines. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. And Paul here is basically saying the same thing to the Galatians. "For all of you who are baptized into Christ," that means when we're baptized in obedience to Jesus Christ, that we came into contact with Him, that we were one with Him. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, we were united with Him. People today talk about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, this is tells us when that relationship begins and how that relationship transpires. It is through our obedience to Jesus Christ to be baptized, and we enter into Christ, into this relationship. And again, remember Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them," the American Standard says, "into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The Greek word there is ice. What Jesus is saying, to make disciples by baptizing those who believe into, in, to have a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about this relationship just a little bit. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22. As we have this relationship, and it's talked in this way, and tonight I'm not going to attempt to explain how all of this transpires and all of this occurs, just the fact that it is, that it occurs. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22, and this speaking of Jesus Christ, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So God is in us, that we are the dwelling of God in the Spirit. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is the way that this relationship is spoken of in the Bible. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. So this is the relationship, that God is in me, that we are united, that we are part of one another, that Jesus Christ is in me. And turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. We talked about this relationship. We have a relationship with God. We saw from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22 with Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Exactly as Jesus told the apostles to make disciples, baptizing into the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Here we see also with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? And this is the way this relationship is spoken of. Again, I'm not going to even attempt to explain how all of this occurs and it transpires. Just the fact is that we have this relationship. When does this relationship begin? It's when we obey Jesus Christ to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, what blessings do we receive in this relationship? Turn your Bibles again with me over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We've talked tonight about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by His authority, by the power which He has. We've talked then from Matthew chapter 28 that when we obey Jesus Christ to do that in our lives, to be baptized by His authority, that we enter into a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And now what is the blessings that we receive in this relationship? Just to go over a few. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 and 27. We've already read verse 27. But beginning in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now what is this relationship? That God is our Father and we are His children. And when does this occur? Verse 27, for all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And the Apostle Paul continues explaining all the way through chapter 4, verse 7, that when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, that we're no longer slaves. In Romans chapter 6, Paul tells us that we're slaves to sin before becoming a Christian. We're no longer slaves, but we are children. We are sons of God. And as the Apostle Paul explains here and also in Romans chapter 8, therefore we cry out, Abba, Father, because of this relationship which we have with God through Jesus Christ, and that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 once again. Talking about this relationship when we obey Jesus Christ, that which He has authorized to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, and let's read it again. Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. our sins are forgiven. As Peter continues on throughout the sermon, and as we note here through the rest of this chapter, that those who received the words which were spoken, that they were saved. Peter says in verse 40, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Verse 41, "So then those who had received His word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." And verse 47, "They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number," or to the church, "day by day, those who were being saved." So this is a blessing. We are a son of God. We are a child of God. We are an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We're saved, and we are added to the church. Turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And perhaps we could just summarize all of these things together with all of the many blessings which God gives us as His children. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We have all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. All the blessings that God would give His children and all the promises in this life and in the life to come are given to us in Christ. When we obey Jesus Christ, the one who has the authority, the one who has the power, the one who has commanded us to repent and to be baptized for the remission of our sins, and when we do that, we're baptized in the name, into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, into a relationship with them, and we receive God's blessing. The only possible way for us to enter into this divine relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is to obey Jesus Christ, the one who has the authority, the one who has the power whereby we can enter into this relationship. And as Christians, we should be aware of this relationship with God. And it should motivate us to do the very best we can in serving Him and pleasing Him in every respect in our daily lives, and to do all to the glory of God. Are we baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Yes. Are we baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Yes. All we must do is obey Jesus Christ. Doing all in the name of the Lord, everything commanded by our Lord, we will be saved if we only trust and obey. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I invite you to think about this lesson tonight and to consider it. To consider it in how great our Lord is to have such authority, to have such power, to bless us so bountifully with salvation and all of the many blessings of God. And that because of Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with our Father as His child, with Jesus Christ, as the Hebrew writer would put it, as brothers with Jesus Christ, joint heirs, as Paul would speak in Romans and Galatians, and with the Holy Spirit. We're going to now extend the gospel invitation. If you'd like to get your song books out and turn to the song that Scott has selected, what will your answer be? The invitation is extended tonight. If you're not a Christian, you too can respond to the call of Jesus Christ, the call that is made through the gospel, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that which He has authorized. And what has He authorized? To be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Enter into that relationship with your God. If you're subject to the gospel invitation tonight, we ask you to step to the front as we stand and as we sing.